Good morning, Brendan Telfer in the Auckland studio.
Good morning, Catherine.
What are we learning about some of the new talent coming through the rugby franchises for next season?
Yes, well, I suppose we should start with the football because the All Whites have just finished their match against the Republic of Ireland about half an hour or three quarters of an hour ago. The first time our national team have played for 17 months. It's hard to kind of understand that. You can imagine the All Blacks not having played a test match for 17 months, but it is the nature of football, unfortunately. And they were beaten this morning 3-1 by Ireland. Not a bad performance. Ireland ranked 34, 35 in the world and the All Whites at 121. So the smart money was on a fairly comfortable Irish victory. But the All Whites surprised the Irish in the first half. They scored the first goal, were leading by 1-0 after 45 minutes. And then in the dying seconds of the first half from an Irish corner, the big Irish fullback Derek Williams headed an equaliser home. Unfortunately for the All Whites, they lost Winston Reid in the second half. He hadn't played also for 18 months, and so 45 minutes was probably about as much as you could expect him for his first match back. And so the defence wasn't that well organised in the second half, and Danny Hay, the new coach, wanted to get as many players into the match as possible, and so a few defensive lapses occurred and Ireland scored another 2 goals in the second half to win by 3-1. But Danny Hay, I think, would be very pleased with this performance. A lot of youngsters in his side, and the goal that was scored was two young lads from the Phoenix team, Kakachi and McCoward, who combined beautifully. Kakachi with the cross and the finish coming from 20-year-old Colin McCoward. And so that augurs well. They have another game on Sunday against Lithuania, who are ranked just behind the All Whites, and I would think after this performance, they'd be confident that they can at least win this second match. But you know, if you're only playing once every 18 months, your expectations can't be very high.
What are these? They're just friendly matches, are they?
Yes, they're friendlies, yes. It's a FIFA window, and so there's a lot of European qualifying matches taking place. England, I noticed, were playing Montenegro this morning, and are leading by 5-0 at some stage. Portugal were playing, Lithuania, who is the side that the All Whites will be playing on Sunday. So, yes, and Ireland have a big match on Monday, so they actually rested most of their leading players from this game against New Zealand. They didn't want them injured ahead of a match they must win in order to qualify for the European Championships. But some of their leading players came on in the last 15 minutes of the match just to give their legs a bit of a run, and they completely dominated the match and possession. And New Zealand were lucky to hang on and only concede 3 goals in the end. So a few good things have come out of the match, even though they lost.
2022 for the next World Cup. So I imagine there's a whole qualifying process to come.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Still a wee way off.
Yes, it's the start. It's Danny Hay, the new coach. His appointment was widely received, ex-international himself, experienced overseas player, and clearly he's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to get this side as competitive as they were today. Some of these guys in the All Whites had never met some of their teammates until a couple of days ago. But we'll see how they go on Sunday.
Okay.
Anyway,
back to the rugby.
Yes. Well, traditionally, not so long ago, it was always a very big occasion when the 5 New Zealand squads named their players. In fact, they were staggered usually through a morning, so that they all wouldn't come out at once because there was so much interest in who was playing for who and where leading players were going and swapping franchises. But today or this week, it was a very muted response. There were no real surprises. The one or two big changes had been well telegraphed some months ago. And you'd have to say that Super Rugby may not be the sick patient of rugby, but all is not well with this competition. And there's quite a few things that need addressing. The number of teams, for example, the general consensus is there's too many. And they got rid of the Japanese team at the end of last season, which was a little embarrassing considering most of those players in their Super Rugby side were in the national team, who were one of the outstanding successes of the Rugby World Cup, and there's now some thought that they might be reinstated. But falling attendances, leading players missing from the competition, the complications around the draw, and so there just seems to be a lack of interest in Super Rugby. And certainly now you get the impression that a lot of leading players are not that keen on signing up for a full Super Rugby season. I'm talking about All Blacks here. They're usually given a few weeks off anyway because of All Black duty. Others are given sabbaticals. And you had the case this year of Beauden Barrett, who's gone from the Hurricanes to the Blues, but has got a sabbatical of some nature that he's undertaking as well. But he's now living in Auckland, but won't be available for the Blues, I think, until the middle of the season. That is a significant acquisition for the Blues, but he's not available from the start of the year, and the season might have gone by the time he gets to play for them. Sam Whitelock asked for 5 months off for a sabbatical because of his congested commitments, but he's off playing rugby in Japan and is allowed to come back and go straight basically into the All Blacks for their international season in the middle of 2020. So it's a tough physical competition. No one denies that. And, you know, you have to question whether the season is too long, whether a shorter season would be better for these players. I mean, it is a good breeding ground for the next catalogue of All Blacks coming along, young guys coming through, proving themselves at Super Rugby, because it is an international competition, but there's just a lot of things that don't seem to be right with it, and the players pick up on that, and so a lot of them are missing.
Let's have a look. One of the most significant shifts is Barrett going to the Blues, as you said. Are we starting to see a turnaround in their fortunes? They seem to have been
I read a piece on Stuff from someone last night who said 2020 will be the year of the Blues. I mean, you could probably find that each year from some rugby writer, probably from this city here, convinced that this was going to be the year. And we all thought last year with Leon McDonald at the helm and Tana Umang, his assistant, that it was a very good combination, probably is a good combination, but they had a very poor season in the end, the Blues. McDonald's, I think, been given 3 years to turn things around, so he's not under the threat of expulsion or losing his job this year, you know, they have to make the playoffs, and they should make the playoffs. You only have to finish in the top eight from round robin in a 17-18 team competition. And if you do that, you're probably safe as a coach. So McDonald, that's what his aim will be this year, is to make the playoffs. Whether they will or not, when I look at that Blue squad, it doesn't strike me as being substantially different from last year. And Beauden Barrett, Sonny Bill Williams is gone, Martin Nonu's gone, and Barrett not available till the middle of the season.
The Crusaders have lost a lot of top players. Of course, those are All Blacks who've retired. All Blacks who've retired. How much? They do play a fair chunk of the season, the All Blacks, typically in the franchise colours.
Well, they do, but they're usually given weeks off because of their All Black duty. Usually, the All Blacks conduct a tour at the end of the year and don't get home sometimes until the middle of December, by which time the Super Rugby training squads have already met and are starting to plan and get down to business for the following season. So All Blacks are often given 3 weeks or thereabouts off from the start of the season, or somewhere in the season they're allowed to take a break because of their commitments over and above Super Rugby. And so that also is something that the coaches don't like. Which matches do you drop your players? And it's supposed to be a three-week break, not a week here and a week there. And this was reflected in the fact that, you know, people see Super Rugby now in a different light from the way it was when it started. And the irony of it is that the only matches that we're really interested in here are the local derbies. And that's not what's supposed to be happening. The big matches should be the intercontinental clashes between the top South African sides and the top New Zealand sides, but the crowds only go in big numbers to watch, you know, the Crusaders versus the Hurricanes, or the Blues versus the Crusaders, or the Highlanders versus the Crusaders. The derbies still command a lot of support and appreciation from rugby fans here, but the actual competition, I don't think we care much about what happens after this, after the local derbies. And it's quite complicated, the draw. You can have teams getting into the playoffs who've got inferior records to teams that have missed out.
What is the spotlight back on mental health issues in Australian cricket? What's
happening? Well, yeah, this is interesting. I mean, it's a very busy international summer of cricket getting underway down under, Australia and New Zealand. But a reminder has been sounded to the game's administrators and, I guess, players this week about the cost of increasing the player demands on the game's leading players. In the past couple of weeks, three Australian players, these are top players, have made themselves unavailable for the Australian team, or Australia A, because of what has been described in press releases, mental health issues. And of the three, only Glenn Maxwell you describe as a really world-class name player. Maxwell is one of the game's, not just Australia's, but one of the game's leading all-rounders up there with the likes of Ben Stokes, in big demand across all three forms of the game. He's made himself unavailable for the Australian team, who are currently involved in matches against Pakistan, including some test matches. The other two are names that probably won't mean much to anyone here in New Zealand. Will Pekoski has been on the cusp of the Australian test selection and has made himself unavailable twice this year.
It's only 20.
Yeah, for Australian test selection. And then there's the case of 27-year-old, another relative youngster, Nick Madison, who's also withdrawn twice from the Australian A-team this year. And now, these are healthy signs that I think we're seeing from these players, happy to put their mental health ahead of playing for their country. And this has prompted Virat Kohli, probably the most famous person in world cricket, the Indian master batsman and captain, to come out publicly and commend Glenn Maxwell for his actions. And in doing so, Kohli admitted that back in 2014, he's conceded his career was going through a terrible phase where he felt like it was the end of the world. He didn't know what to do or even what to say or how to communicate to his fellow players or his management of the Indian team that he wanted to get away from the game, but he was too scared, he admits, to do so because of how many people would see or interpret his actions. And so he said, "What Maxwell has done is remarkable," says Kohli, "and sets an example for cricketers all around the world." He said it's important in this game, which now, you know, the season's run for 12 months of the year, to have time away from the game. And that doesn't mean you're giving up on cricket. It's just that you want to gain some clarity around what you're doing and you've got to get away from the game. So many of our, as we've just discussed, many of our leading rugby players get sabbaticals, a 12-month break from the game to give their bodies a physical rest. Maybe it's time for cricket to do something similar, to give these top players a mental rest from the rigours of playing 12 months of the year.
Brendan, thank you. Brendan Telfer, sports commentator.